Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Kolinsky, Morav Rabosai. Tonight is Yom HaZikaron, and if you're not aware, it's a day that was chosen many years ago as a day to remember the fallen soldiers who died over the years since 1948 in the various wars that were fought in Eretz Yisrael. As of last year, I believe that number is about 24,000, which is kind of an eerie number, not just because it's a tremendous loss of life, but to be thinking about the other 24,000 and this 24,000 at the same period of time, same time of the year, just the shivers down your spine. For some, Yom HaZikaron is about Hakaras HaTov. We all owe so much to those who have provided the hishtadlus at all costs, to protect Klal Yisrael and to protect Eretz Yisrael. We can't imagine what life without Eretz Yisrael is like, because in a certain sense, we were born with the current situation. Anytime we want, we get on a plane, and we're there, and we're davening by the Kotel, and we're as close as anyone can be to the Shechina, to spend years learning there, and to experience the unique feeling that anyone who's ever visited Eretz Yisrael knows just pulls you back. You get on the plane back to America and you're wondering, when am I going to return? So that debt of gratitude for all those who have made it possible is something that has to be very, very real for each and every one of us. It cannot be taken for granted. The gift that Eretz Yisrael is, the gift from Hashem, and the safety that Hashem provides through the Hashkacha Pratis that He delivers at the hands of the success of the IDF. The Sefer Rosh HaOlam and other sources recount the story. Shlomo Zalman was asked by his Talmidim, you know, can we get on a bus and go up north to visit the Kibrei Tzadikim and daven there, Tzfas and Galil? And he said, it's not appropriate to spend the time on the bus at the expense of your siddurim. And he said, well, Rebbe, don't you ever feel the need to go and daven at the Kibrei Tzadikim sometimes? And he said, yeah, I do. But why do I need to go up to the Galil? I can go to Har Herzl, and I can daven by the kvarim of those who died in the wars fought on behalf of Eretz Yisrael. But I want to focus on a dimension of Yom HaZikaron that's not Hakaras HaTov, that I think is appropriate for a Sichas Musar, and something we can incorporate into our daily lives of Avodas Hashem. In 2017, Chataya Nimaska Yom, it had been close to 10 years since I'd been in Eretz Yisrael. At the time, I had kind of our 5 children, and it just wasn't so easy to pick up and go to Israel. It's a stage in life where, you know, before I was married, I was there once or twice a year, but at that point, it just wasn't so simple. An opportunity presented itself for me to be there for about 2.5 days, and it was very hard for me to say no after 10 years. Okay, but it was in the middle of the week. I had to give a shiur. So I asked Rav Schechter, and I asked my boss, I asked Rabbi Penner, Rabbi Sheba. Both of them gave me overwhelming blessings. Get on the plane and go. If I'm not mistaken, what Rav Schechter said to me was, go, and when you come back, you'll be an even better Rebbe. He was right. Of course he was right. I'll never forget that. There are a number of memorable things that are still fresh in my mind from that trip. One thing which I remember sharing with my Talmidim when I came back, one of the nights that I was there, was at the Kotel Maravi for Ma'ariv, and at that time, there was an induction of soldiers to the Tzanchanim, paratroopers. And over the years, I've been around many such ceremonies, I'm sure we've all seen them, when we go to Davin in the Old City, and maybe I was never close enough to really follow what was going on and to understand or to listen carefully enough to hear the dialogue. But this time, I was right there. And the officer who was swearing everyone in was reviewing the oath, the shvuah that everyone was about to take. Has anyone ever paid attention to the words? If you haven't, they're asked to affirm their commitment and their loyalty to Medinas Yisrael, to give with all their strength to defend the homeland and freedom of Israel. And then they're asked to give of their lives to defend Eretz Yisrael. And in unison, every single one of those soldiers screams, Ani nishba, Ani nishba, Ani nishba, I swear, I swear, I swear. Listening to that conviction of a shvuah, mamash brought tears to my eyes. To give a shvuah, to give you up your life to protect Klal Yisrael, to protect Eretz Yisrael. I hate to say, when was the last time I heard a group of Jews with such serious sincerity and forcefulness yelling, probably like at a Mets game, let's go Mets. Embarrassing, right? I remember telling my Talmidim when I came back, these people are your age, and they're committed to give up their lives for you. Would you be committed to give up your lives for them? Are we committed to give up our lives for anything? Are we so committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda that we're ready to sacrifice? Or are we so just comfortable with the lifestyles we live? It's easy for us, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, their comforts, their luxuries, no hardships. It comes naturally. We don't even know what the concept of sacrifice means. But we have a term, Mesiras Nefesh. We, Baruch Hashem, are not asked to give up our lives for anything, and we're thankful for that. We don't want nisyonos. But we have to realize, number one, that those in the position to do so are mamish Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Pikuach Nefesh on a national scale, and we're all the beneficiaries of that. There are those who are trying to kill us, we're in a perpetual state of mochama, and they're defending Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Yes, contemplating that is to reinforce the notion of Acharas HaTov that we started with, that dimension of Yom HaAtzmaut, but there's something else here. A second point of reflection for Sichas Musar, that when we prepare for Matan Torah, we have to think about the following. We make a big deal about Maimon Har Sinai. It's a mitzvah to remember every single day, Maimon Har Sinai. It transformed us into Klal Yisrael. It had to compete for that designation. The Medrash tells us that either Tzura of the mountain itself changed from before and afterwards, but nevertheless, none of us, Halo Davaru, none of us has any idea where that place of Matan Torah was. We don't know where that mountain, where it is. There are mountains all over the world with much less significant things that took place thousands of years ago, but when it comes to Har Sinai, it just isn't part of our Mesorah. But we have another mountain, Har Abayis, which is completely opposite. Not that Makom HaMikdash is insignificant by any measure, but it retains a central role in Yiddishkeit, L'dori Doros, the Makom HaShayivcha Hashem, L'shichno Sidrushu. We don't forget where Har Abayis is. B'mshoch HaYovo, Heima Yalu Vahar. After Matan Torah, when the event was over, even the animals come and eat the grass on the mountain. Nothing left. Kedushas Abayis, Kedushas Har Sinai, Har Abayis is alive and well. Shechina in Betela, the Rambam says, and the Dinam of Har Abayis are operative today. But why should that be so? Har Sinai became mamish, a portal to Shemayim. Rashi says in a few places, because Baruch Hu brought the heavens down on Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu walked right in. It was the Pesach. True, Har Abayis is also called Shara Shemayim, but it wasn't even a Shara. We just walked right in. And yet, it's gone. We don't know where that is. Har Moriah, if anything, shrunk. We mentioned that. Bris Karov says that shot in Zmiros and Dror Yikra. Elokim Tein Bamidbar Har, because it was a Har, it would shrunk. When Mashiach comes, it's going to come back. Har Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu himself walked, has fallen into a forgotten oblivion of 1,000 sandy desert mountains. What's the pshat? Zaptak Sam Sofer, very simple. It was because on Har HaMoriah, on Har HaBayis, there was Mesiras Nefesh. One Jew, one individual, Yitzchak Avinu, stuck out his neck for the Ribbono Shel Olam to give it all up for him. That event was so impactful and so reverberating that it was soaked into the soil of the Har itself. It was everlasting because of Mesiras Nefesh. But what's amazing is that staying power, that koach, that retained Kedusha in that terrain forever. It's not just that it stays in the place, the geographic location. It's also something that's internalized in us as a people. Because I'll talk about Afishal Yitzchak as a reality. There's something tangible there. Rav Nevensal writes in his Sefer on Yom Noroyim that the Afishal Yitzchak, the ashes in the crematorium. Doesn't mean Afron Shel Yitzchak, his ashes. It means the ashes that because of him were able to come about. The Mesiras Nefesh that's in our spiritual DNA throughout the ages comes from the Mesiras Nefesh of Yitzchak. Rav Meir Simcha says the same Yisod in Parshas Vayera by the Akedah that the tragedy that he witnessed 100 years before Rav Nevensal, the persecution in the centuries prior to Rav Meir Simcha also. He says it's like the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. It's in our Teva. The Mesiras Nefesh stayed in the mountain. And it stayed inside of us. And it's our nishva, nishva, nishva that we say every day, twice a day. Kriyashma, shoshakas, shosharvis, that's the kavanah of ahaptis, hashem alkecha, chol vav, chol vav, nafshecha, zakim bekiva, and Rabbi Kiva did it by himself. I feel no tos nafshecha. We also have a nishva, nishva, nishva. But don't think for a second that that statement of Mesiras Nefesh is limited to a soldier, or Rabbi Kiva, asar ruge malchus, or any of our historic antecedents alone, it's something that is shayach with that DNA that we're describing to every single one of us hayom. What do I mean? Key to understanding this is a Rashi, one word in Parshas Chayisara, one word that makes this very, very practical. Vaydaber itam lemor, the Avram says, em yesh es nafshechem lichbor es meisi mofonai. Em yesh es nafshechem. So Rashi, one word, nafshechem ritzonchem. Your nefesh is synonymous with your ratzon. to be moser your ritzonos, the nefesh, your desires, what makes you tick, what makes you driven and motivates you and satisfies you, that's also mesiris nefesh, mesiris haritzonos. I'm not giving over my life in the fullest sense. That's not what's demanded of me right now. Baruch Hashem. What will often be demanded of me throughout my life is to make decisions to do what's right, or better yet, on the macro level, to mold my life, to shape my life as a Ben Torah, requiring me to give up a little on what I prefer to choose, to give up a little on what's easier, more convenient to choose, and also to give up a little on what I would prefer to choose because what's conventional to choose. That's also Mesiris Nefesh, to sacrifice my Ratzon, seemingly a much lower stake sacrifice than Mesiris Nefesh in the classical sense, but sometimes it's something we struggle with. It's very difficult for us to give up on our Ratzon, so insignificant. It means we need to be prepared to move out of our comfort zones, to succeed as Ovdei Hashem, and to succeed as individuals who we want to be proud of who we are. On a physical level, not literally, pas b'mal tochal, right? What does that mean? It means we can't indulge the way others want to. It means we can't sleep as much as other people want to, who don't have the mission and appreciation of Ayom Katzar v'Amalacha Meruba. We're put on this world with a job, and we're not at leisure to avail ourselves of all the forms of entertainment that the rest of the world takes for granted because they're not in line all the time with the attitudes of Torah. Yes, we need to eat, we need to drink, exercise, and unwind in a healthy, balanced fashion. But beyond that, beyond what we need, beyond the b'chol rochecha da'eyu, which is kulo mitzvah, lies not what I need, but what I want. And there, when we make sacrifices in that zone of ratzon, what we want, for the sake of Torah, for the sake of Yiddishkeit, that's the mesiris nefesh of our generation. Our ancestors gave up their lives for Torah, because that's what was asked of them. What we are being asked of is not mesiris nefesh of ki adam hu nefesh, but mesiris nefesh of ki haratzon hu nefesh. It's hard to talk about specifics in this area because true personal needs vary so much from person to person. And to make demands of what a person must sacrifice on a public scale, it's going to be inaccurate, or at least it's going to be ineffective. But we need to have some sort of ideal in our minds of what it looks like. The Rambam tells us, in Ilkas Ham Torah, Perek Gimel, Halach Yubeis, Ein Devei Torah Meskayim Bemisha Marpa Atzmo Aleihem. If you're lazy, it's not going to go. If you kick back with your lemonade in your lawn chair and that's your Seder, that's your dafyomi, it's not the Kinyan Torah. You're not going to get there in the same way. That's what Rambam says. A statement like this in the Rambam paints a picture for us of what Lufum Tzara Agra, what Mesiris Nefesh is necessary to achieve the success we want. Now, for Yom HaZikaron, if it helps, if you took out this line from Hilchos Talmud Torah and you put it in Hilchos Molochim, when the Rambam talks about wars and the halachos about wars, it probably wouldn't surprise you so much, right? If you have to give a description of a soldier on the battlefield in Tzahal, how he's supposed to behave to remain focused on his duties and in order to be ready for action and poised for victory, so, you know, Misha Marpa Lam, Idun Mitoch Achil Shia, kick him out. He's not going to be Matzleach in the IDF. But for the average American yeshiva bachur, it's a jarring description. But the only thing we're asked to respond to, or respond with, for starters at least, is that yes, I need a certain amount of sleep. Yes, I need to take care of my body, 1,000%. But I need to try to move out of my comfort zone with little steps in the direction of Mesiris Nefesh, Mesiris HaRatzon. For sleep, it might be standing up at a shender to push my Seder an extra 7 minutes later when I get tired. Or setting my alarm a few minutes earlier so I can have a chavrusa before davening, so I have my tefillin on and I can say karbonos like a mensch by the time everybody else is ready for it. Because I know if I come on time, I'm already late. Very little things, but they can be the attitudinal difference between hitting the snooze button, because we know, like, if I sleep for another 6 minutes, I'm going to be so refreshed today, it's going to make all the difference. It doesn't. We know it doesn't. But those 6 minutes are my karbonos. And I'm makir that sleep to be able to say karbonos. Different hakrava. Ki'ilu krafti. But I didn't come here to give a shmooze about Talmud Torah, definitely not about karbonos. Let's think, in the remaining 6 minutes, big picture. If someone is able to be moser nefesh in this way over time, little by little, he can reach a different level of existence where he looks at the world around him in a different way. Chazal say that Avraham Avinu was the first to call Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam. And we say all the time, Adon Olam, that's how we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the Shemos, Al Dal Non Yud, he's an Adon. And we're also taught that we have responsibility of Halachta B'drachot, to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever way he's described in Tanakh is a standard for us to try to imitate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mesater, I have to be Tanua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Osa Chesed, he's Racha Mechana, I need to do the same. It hit me once, how in the world am I supposed to be an Adon? Right? Where's the halacha b'drachov when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as Adam? Okay? Assuming that I'm not supposed to, you know, be Matal Ima Alatzibor. Where's the Adam? Then I saw a line, Paratesim Sil Sisharim, that blew me away. Sil Sisharim is talking about the things that counteract Zrizos. And he says like this, Bakashas HaMenucha HaGufanis V'sinas HaTorach Avasi Dunam B'tashim Kol Tanayim. A person is so entrenched in the good life, enjoying, taking it easy. It's going to be hard for him to get up in the morning to go to shul. Hard for him to cut short his meal when it has to be a royal feast, when it's time to go to mincha or to go any dvar mitzvah, unless it fits exactly with his schedule and his preference. Certainly not going to be matzliach in zrizos. And here's the key line. If a person is living too nicely, margal atzmo, Einenu Odon Ba'atzmo. Einenu Odon Ba'atzmo. He's not in control of himself. A person in an Olam HaKotan needs to be an Adon Olam to be in control of his Ratzon. That's mamish the words of the Mesil Sisharim. You need to be in control of yourself. Not to let, from both sides, the world in which we live in and it seeps into our communities, we're threatened to lose control of ourselves. Forget about alcohol and drugs and other things that remove our inhibitions. They're basic elements of general lifestyles that are so common we've lost the capacity of proper judgment to know that they're excessive. To be most inevitable by definition means it's in my hands. I'm an adon. It's in my hands to give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's not in my hands, if my rotzon is not in my hands, forget about it. When we can be convinced of a ridiculous amount of money for our clothing, our shoes, our cars, whatever it is, then those ritzonos have control over us. And we will have to make sacrifices, not for our Avodas Hashem, but sacrifices of our Avodas Hashem. Rachmana Litzlan. Time that we spend, and effort we invest, and brain space that we use where it shouldn't be spent, and shouldn't be invested, and shouldn't be used. Please listen to me. The Ramchal is not talking about someone who's ostentatious or conspicuous consumption, going overboard. We're not talking about how people go on vacation or how much they spend on a chasana. Let me give an illustration. Small steps of Mesiris Nefesh. Used to be for many people, and still, if you want a coffee, it's enough to put some powder in a cup and come to the base medrash. Something simple. When coffee became something, and you hear this from people, that I'm so particular, it's like alterations on my suit. It has to be just like this and just like that. Inevitably, it becomes a $7 cup with whipped cream on top. And it has to be dafka from this store, and I'm going to have to travel and wait online for 20 minutes to get it right there from a trendy place. Instead of fueling my morning seder, I'm going to cut half an hour into my morning seder. Crazy. Or whatever productive endeavor you need to be doing in the morning. When I spend thousands of dollars per person going to a Pesach program, and days later I'm still complaining because at one meal the meat wasn't exactly well done, and you know how much I like my well-done steak, and yet my attempt at Simchas Yotzev has been undermined because it has to be just so. It has to be just like that. I'm not an Adon. My Ritzonos are the Adon over me. The Mesiris Nefesh to give up on some of the creature comforts that the Jewish magazines and the newspapers, they become like the standard. I can't celebrate Shabbos properly unless I have some super high-end steak from a store with a full-page ad or several of them that reminds me, in case I forgot, what a raw meat looks like, because their store has to demonstrate that their meat is better or more smoked or more pulled or whatever the craze is going to be. And that's the baseline of every Jewish home. It's crazy. But I don't want anyone to get lost in these illustrations. They're caricatures. They're caricatures. But come on, we all have our own mishigas. I have my mishigas, I admit it. Even in Ruchnis, we have mishigas. How many of you have ever lost half an hour of your Seder because your Gemara that looks exactly like everyone else's was accidentally moved to a different table and a million, you know, half an hour trying to find your red Oz V'Hadar that everyone else has, right? When it's happened to me. Okay, I admit I'm guilty at an earlier stage in life. It's a nisayon for me to walk over to the shelf and pull off a Baba Basra that looks like all the others. But that's half an hour of my learning. It's a mishigas. I'm not an Adon on myself to you, Stama Gemara. Many don't didn't even own a full set of shas. Let's wrap it up, Rabosai. I'm just trying to give general illustrations about the perceptions of what we need needs to be curtailed. The particularity of so many specifics has to be like this and just like that and dafka this. this label, this type of cooking, it gets us into trouble if we're not able to make these small, insignificant sacrifices. We need to be flexible with a mantra of I can do without it. We need to have a sprach where adequate, simple, and okay isn't replaced by best and supreme and premier. That's marketing. It's not avodas Hashem. Just want to conclude with one last point. There's a risk also walking away from this notion with the impression that Mesiras Nefesh is one-dimensional and stays in avodas Hashem ben adam makom alone. And it's not accurate at all. In some ways, we have more opportunities on a daily basis to be Mesiras Nefesh in ben adam l'chaveiro. Just one example. If this was a seminary, so maybe we'd talk about Mesiras Nefesh for your husband's learning. Kol or not kol, it doesn't make a difference. Every minute the husband is not at home, so a wife is by herself. Elisha tsukaseh. And maybe she has additional responsibilities of parenting or at home that fall on her because her husband's not there. I don't think we get the message across to chassanim, to married men, that there's a tremendous amount of reciprocity that's necessary for shalom bias in Mesiras Nefesh as well. To have oral relationships, blood relatives as well, but to be mevater on someone's preferences, someone's time, for the sake, your comfort, your conveniences, for your wife, your kids, that's critical. In the dating stage, we often spend a lot of time conversation that revolves around what I need, what I'm looking for, what's a good match for me, and good reason, that's hishtadlus. But without giving a proper context, subconsciously, we also generate a mindset where one's expectations of marriage are what's in it for me, and one's thrown off when his wife may have competing needs that require him to be mevater his ratzon for her. Give to another person. My father often quotes my grandfather, used to say, first comes my wife, then comes my kids, then comes my dog, then comes me. He didn't have a dog. But you got the point. Sometimes I need to be mevater myself for others. To close, mamish, Rabbi Kronosberg once said, b'shem Rav Aaron Feldman from Baltimore, that that's the zekhal god of the Torah, of the Hagam to the Ein Yaakov. Why is that zekhal gadol? Because you have to be makriv. That's a klal gadol. You have to be ready to sacrifice things. Next time you see a soldier in uniform, for sure, express respect, express hakaras hatov. But then consider how Mesiras Nefesh is on the line for something he believes in. And then ask yourself, whether it's Torah, whether it's shalom bayis, bein adam l'makom, or bein adam l'chaveiro, am I truly prepared for the matters that are very important to me, to say, l'korban akriv lo es nafshi, my ratzon, es nafshi hayechidah.